The Holy Gospels according to St. Matthew and St. Luke. Matthew writes in chapter 2 of his Gospel, "And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." From St. Luke, chapter 3. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." These are the Gospels of our Lord. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, it's very fitting, and Terry Ann and I didn't rehearse that little Abbott and Costello scene that you witnessed there, but it's true that there's always this dilemma at this time of year. Two important observances on the Christian calendar, and they seem to coincide at this same time. You see, this week we had January the 6th, which is the day of Epiphany. Epiphany commemorates the first revelation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, represented by the visit from the Magi, those exotic visitors from the Far East that are more commonly known as the Three Wise Men. The festival of Epiphany originated in the Eastern Church, the Orthodox Church, where it at first included the actual celebration of Christ's birth and was second only to Easter in its importance. And in this same week, we have the first Sunday after Epiphany, which focuses on the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan River. Epiphany means manifestation, and it is at the baptism of Jesus where he is clearly manifested as the divine Son of God. So we are left with this dilemma of which important theme to focus on today: the revelation of Jesus as the Savior to the Gentiles, or the manifestation of Jesus as the Son of God in his baptism. Perhaps it would be fitting for us all not to overlook one, to lay more importance in the other, but to observe them both today, and to make comparisons between these two very significant events. So first we have the Magi, the wise men from the East who sought out their new king. They saw signs in the heavens that a great ruler had been born in the land of Judah. And so they traveled hundreds of miles to present their gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts were an expression of the respect that they were paying to this newborn child, their king. The gold was obviously a precious gift, representative of the worth that the Magi saw in this child. The frankincense and the myrrh were also historically associated with royalty. In the Old Testament book, Song of Solomon, we hear about these gifts mentioned to King Solomon. It writes, "Who is this coming up from the wilderness like columns of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the fragrant powders of a merchant? Behold, it is the litter of Solomon." You see, gold, frankincense, and myrrh were certainly gifts fit for a king. But in the life of the Israelites, these items were significant for another reason. You see, worship was the lifeblood of the people, and their worship took place in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this was an elaborate building made according to the design of God Himself. God was both the architect and the interior decorator of this temple complex, and He determined the way which worship was to be conducted. And in Exodus chapter 30, we read of three important items that were featured in these worships. Guess what they were? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, the myrrh was used in the high priest's anointing oil, which was used to consecrate the most important vessels in the most holy places of the temple. The frankincense was used at the entrance to that same most holy place to help symbolize the presence of the Almighty God with His people. And the altar upon which the frankincense was to be burnt was itself anointed with myrrh and was overlaid with pure gold. So yes, these were fitting gifts for a king, but they were also items that represented the presence of God with His people. These were very appropriate gifts to be presented to this child, who was also known as Emmanuel, God with us. Now, we have no idea if the Magi were aware of these symbolic significances of what their gifts truly meant, but it is more then a little ironic that these non-Jewish Gentile visitors bowed down and worshiped Jesus as a king with the same items used in the Jewish temple worship. Quite significant gifts. And then, some 30 years later, we come to the baptism of Jesus. Now, even though that's only 3 decades separated from these two events, this event in the Jordan River, it seemed worlds apart and centuries removed from the visit by the three wise men. And it's hard for me to imagine that these two events occurred in the same lifetime. The visitors from the Far East, almost mythical or unreal in comparison to the baptism of Jesus, as though they were mere spirits passing in the night. Far more believable and suggestive to our human nature is this incident at the Jordan River. The people in this instance, they traveled for miles to come and hear what John the Baptist had to say. But you see, they traveled from the surrounding region, rather than from an exotic land far, far away. And the response of the people, well, it was reserved and uncertain. They were waiting expectantly for something, but they weren't sure what. They wondered in their hearts if John himself might be the Christ. Now, on the other hand, the actions of the Magi, the wise men, in worshiping Jesus, well, they were more distinct. They were more decisive. And the people, they did not come to the banks of the Jordan bearing any elaborate gifts. No, they came empty-handed. Unless, of course, you count the offerings of their sins and their needs to repent. Hardly gifts fit for a king. But herein lies the unique nature of this king, Jesus. John the Baptist indicated that Jesus was the one more powerful than he, the straps of whose sandals he was not worthy to untie. But although he deserved all honor, all glory and praise, Jesus, he did not come to receive gifts from the people. He came to bring them. Jesus does not, in the first instance, require us to offer him our wealth, for he came to seek us out in our poverty. Augustus Toplady, the author of the hymn Rock of Ages, he recognized this truth when he wrote in his song, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Naked, come to you for dress. Helpless, look to you for grace." Jesus, our King, he comes bearing gifts far more valuable than gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He comes bearing a cross. He comes bearing your salvation. And having won for us our salvation through his death and resurrection, he now gathers us into his kingdom and bestows on us his wealth through the gift of our baptism. As John the Baptist declared, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And when it comes to our baptism into Jesus Christ, the gifts from the Magi, well, I'll tell you, they can help us to understand just what we do receive in our baptism. First, we have myrrh, which was used to anoint kings and special items in the temple. And at his baptism, Jesus was anointed by the Spirit, and God declared, "You are my Son, with whom I am well pleased." In baptism, Paul told Corinth that God anoints us. He sets his seal of ownership on us, and he puts his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Our baptism, therefore, well, you see, it acts as our coronation, our own ordination. To the Galatians, Paul wrote, "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed yourselves with Christ." In baptism, we receive royal robes of righteousness fit for those belonging to the kingdom of God. In addition to this, myrrh was also used in embalming. Nicodemus, he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes to help preserve the dead body of our Jesus. This acts as a good reminder for us of the death that takes place in our own baptism. The old Adam is drowned and a new creation arises from the water. As Paul wrote to the Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Secondly, the frankincense, symbolizing the presence of God. It acts as a reminder of how we receive God's presence in our baptism. We hear in the book of Acts a call to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is the abiding presence of God received by us in baptism. As Paul tells Titus, God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewed us by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Dear saints, we might not see the manifestation of the Spirit on us as Jesus did in the form of a dove in his own baptism, but we do see evidence of the Spirit in us as we make a confession of Jesus our Lord. And as the Spirit himself testifies, we are God's children, as Paul told the Romans. Finally, the gold. It is symbolic of the preciousness and the eternal nature of God's kingdom to which we belong to through our baptism. Martin Luther, in the family seal that he created, known as Luther's Rose, had the seal circled in a ring of gold. And this was done to symbolize that the perfect happiness of heaven, well, it's endless and it's eternal, more precious than any other joy or treasure. Through our baptism in Christ, we inherit that eternal life. And that is what it means to be sons and daughters of God through our connection with our Jesus the Christ. We have, in the words of the Apostle Peter, been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. So there we have it. As proclaimed to us in the Scriptures, those who were baptized into Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, receive more, far more than they could ever hope for. Jesus was revealed to us at his birth as a Savior to all the people of the earth. The gifts that he received from the Magi, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh were really, well, they're only tokens of the wealth that was to be found in him. And later, when he was revealed at his baptism as God's only Son, it soon became apparent how great of a gift he was to us and to this world. We are baptized children of God. Our King, he has come to us through our own baptism, and he has come bearing the gifts of his kingdom. As Paul told the Corinthians, your body is now a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Dear saints, we are now gifts to the world because as baptized holy children of God, we represent the presence of God in the world. May you, offer your life in service to God and to the world, so that others can come to know you and they can come to know and experience the incredible riches of God's kingdom and of His grace. You are His beloved. You are the chosen. With you, He is well pleased. Now may this give you peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.